And we're back here on Unusual Sources 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting live to Hamilton here on not just the radio waves at 93.3 FM, but CFMU.ca, our online streaming service. I'm very pleased to be joined now by Igor. That's Igor Kasbzycki, and he is the chair of the Cuba Solidarity Association of Hamilton, which is a group that formed months and months ago to address growing challenges and crises that Cuba is now facing. So, Igor, thanks very much for being on the program with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
You know, I feel really bad. I was not at the inaugural event. I think I actually had some other meeting at that particular time, but I know some people who were at something that you and others in a committee established, and you had a physical event, a kind of get to know you and let's start working to help Cuba type of event. So that was months ago. I'm wondering, can you tell us, first of all, why people got together and how it came to be that you held an inaugural event in Hamilton to start working on the issue of Cuba solidarity?
So my wife and I have a pretty long connection with Cuba, going back to actually when we first started dating. We attended a conference in, I believe, 2002. That was the Hemisphere Conference Against the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which was hosted by the Cuban government. But there was also groups, everything from Canadian steel workers and postal workers to indigenous groups throughout Central and South America. It was attended by Fidel Castro, Evo Morales, and a few other notables. And then in recent years, we've been traveling to Cuba every second year, and we've been bringing medical supplies and medications and things like that that we knew that were in demand. Last year, we visited the pediatric hospital in Matanzas. We spoke to the hospital director. We got a really amazing welcome, which we were not expecting. We thought we were just going to drop off a couple, you know, suitcases worth of stuff and, you know, shake hands and go. But as usual, you know, Cuban hospitality, they really took us in and gave us a tour of the hospital. My wife actually got to put on scrubs and went into some of the operating areas, and they explained to her, you know, what are the challenges are and you know, what they can do and what they can't. So when we came back, we decided that we wanted to kind of expand on what we're doing and kind of grow it into a more formal organization, and bring more people on board, because, you know, as we spoke about this with other people, they're all, oh, this is great, I'd like to do something like that, or I'd like to support it. But in Hamilton, there really wasn't a group that was doing it. We asked around, there really wasn't anyone that's, you know, does this specifically in the Hamilton area. So we just decided that we're going to do it ourselves. So we got a few people that were interested together. We formed just an interim committee to get started. We organized an event at the Workers Art Heritage Center back in the fall, and we are hoping that that will be kind of our marquee annual event, where we kind of do a report back of the group's activities throughout the whole year, you know, what achievements we have, also bring in some guest speakers, but also have it as a fun social event. So we got a local group to do you know, full musical, you know, entertainment. We had a barbecue in the backyard and had it as a social event as well, to keep it fairly lighthearted. So that's kind of where we got started.
Wow. Like, there's a lot that could be said about that. First of all, it sounds to me like you had a kind of hands-on experience in Cuba, even more so than most people. But what everything you're saying is bringing back things to me. 2002, the Hemispheric Conference, I was part of the Canada-Haiti Action Network, 2004 to 2006, and it was largely comprised of people who had experience in solidarity with Latin America, Central America, Cuba. We were addressing some issues related to Haiti at the time, but there was a great awareness of this hemisphere, the Americas, South America, in terms of global South oppression, right? And there were numerous activists in Canada working on that. So it's really good to hear that you have experience in that. I was in Cuba in 2008. I had some firsthand experience with the medical system, not the same as your wife. I didn't get to go and help anyone and put on equipment, but Actually, I got sick. I was sick because I transited through Mexico on the way there, and because of a booking issue, I had to sleep on a hotel floor. And obviously I got sick, and so I arrived in Cuba sick. But when they were touring us, they took us to a rural, I guess you would say, countryside medical facility. Just in the villages, they have pharmacies and doctors and things like that, which are available for free or very low cost to the people there. So for very low cost, I was able to get medicine and painkillers and stuff, and actually I was better within 3 days, and I was able to enjoy the rest of my vacation. So it's interesting. I mean, I got to experience the medical system too, but in a different way than your wife.
Yeah, it's that's something that Cuba's kind of known for. That is something that they've prided themselves in for quite some time. The amount of doctors that they train, the level of medical service that the average Cuban can, access. It's a big point of pride for them, and that's one of the reasons why that is something that we wanted to assist because of how much the blockade has been able to be detrimental to the services that they provide, with COVID and the US targeting the Cuban supply chain for things like syringes and doing what they can to undermine the system that the Cubans have had access to for so long. We had multiple people kind of say the same thing about like the current crisis and how it affects Cubans, not even just at the hospital, but even I remember like one of the tour guides at some events that we attended saying, we have fantastic doctors, we have really well-trained doctors, they can diagnose, they can, I can go into the hospital sick and in a couple hours they'll tell me that I have pneumonia, but then I have to go home without any treatment because, they're short on medications that they just can't source. So that's one of the goals that we have is to try to target those things in the supply chain that the Cubans need the most, that they have the most difficult sourcing. So one person that is working with us is an actual family doctor here in Hamilton, as well as a pharmacist out of Dundas. So the hospital, the pediatric hospital, actually gave us a list of which medications that they are the most frequently short of, and then the doctor will issue scripts, will pay for it from the funds that we get for donations, and then try to get them to the hospital as soon as we can. And sometimes it's very simple stuff. It's stuff that Canadians take for granted, like antibiotics. You know what I mean? It's stuff that here in Canada you can, get a script for, go to the pharmacy, pick up $15, $17 or something like that, and be cured. Where in Cuba, because of basically the malicious blockade that the US has imposed, like they don't have that. Like for them, even sourcing basic medication is a struggle, let alone medicate like more specific ones for surgery and things like that.
Yes, Canada's medical system is not being blockaded by the United States, at least not yet. And I'm really glad you brought up these points. It seems anybody who engages with Cubans, like seriously goes to the countryside or just talk to people, you find out these things. You find out the limitations, what they have ambitions. They have very rich lives in many cases in terms of culture and interactions with people, but they're being blocked by these sanctions, which are restricting them from so many goods, not just medical, but obviously medical is such a critical area of supply that they need and are being wrenched away from by the most cruel blockade in the hemisphere, this illegal blockade, which is so much in line with the way the United States is behaving in general. And that's why you have every discussion we would have about Cuba and our interactions there and traveling there comes back to this blockade. You go to a hotel as a Canadian, there's so much you cannot get simply because of this blockade. But more seriously is the medical issue, as you rightly point out. And for those who are just tuning in, I'm speaking with Igor, who is the chair of the Cuba Solidarity Association of Hamilton. He's one of the executive members who was instrumental in forming it and is now engaged in a new campaign that you can see is coming, which is about getting the medical supplies, getting the things into Cuba that are being maliciously blocked by the United States, and it's illegal strangling of the country. So, what prompted you at this particular point in time to organized specific activity to get goods into Cuba?
I mean, when we were, Cuba has had a streak of bad luck over the last 2 years. Two really destructive hurricanes, the tightening of the sanctions by the Americans even further with Trump. So they need everything. The medical supplies are critical, but if you're going to Cuba, I asked around. When we were there 2 3 years ago, and I spoke to some other people that had visited more recently. Like, hey, what are some things I can bring? Even things like as simple as like guitar strings. I mean, last time I came went and I picked up maybe $100 worth of guitar strings from like the lo local music shop, and I was kept them in my bag that we took when we went on day trips, and like just handing them out to buskers and musicians, and like the way that their eyes light up, their face light up. They're like, these are so hard to obtain here in Cuba. So, the medical supplies, food are the two things that they need the most right now. This fuel embargo that Trump has recently imposed is going to have a catastrophic effect on the entire supply chain. It's going to affect them much further down the road than just immediately. Even if the stuff was lifted tomorrow, there is serious damage already done. You know what I mean? Food goes to spoil if there's no truck to drive it to the market. Farmers need fuel to plant crops. March is coming. Like, it's traditionally when crops get planted is in the springtime. So if they do not have diesel for tractors and they have to, they're basically going back to very primitive times, pre-revolution, where they're gonna have to go back and rely on animals. And for a population of 10 million people, that's not something that you can, do. They've done an amazing job trying to convert the economy and to be less reliant on fossil fuels. I don't think any country has gone as far as Cuba when it comes to implementing self-reliance. And they've been doing this for like the last 20, 25 years. But this recent fuel embargo is so absolute and so total that like this is not something that you can just compensate for easily. So
Yeah. No, it's
aside
the
from medical supplies, food is probably the next one that we'll be focusing on. We have some connections with Cuban expats like diaspora from Toronto and Mississauga that send entire shipping containers worth of supplies to Cuba fairly regularly. So the medical stuff we try to send through either packages like airmail or through people that are traveling to Cuba, just because A, they're extremely expensive, and B, they're fragile, and we always want to make sure that they get to the destination that we wanted to go to, especially the pediatric hospital in Matanzas, which we're kind of hoping to kind of take under our wing and have that as one of our main recipient of aid. That's kind of been my hope that if every major city or every area in Canada, starts a solidarity group for Cuba, and every one of them adopts one single Cuban institution, and even helps them out once every 6 months, sends them some supplies, that would already make a massive impact. Especially on things that they're, if we get good at knowing what they need specifically, so not just putting in bandages or things like random things into it, but actually like establishing connections and establishing a flow of information. Like, hey, what are you short on? What things that are you constantly running out of? Let's send that so that we have a maximum impact.
Yes, it's both tragic and fascinating because you hear on other programs in Canada similar things about what Cubans are suffering as a result of a blockade that most Canadians don't support. Most Canadians sympathize with Cuba. Many people have been there. And this story you're telling me is something I hear elsewhere in the country. And as you said, everything makes a difference from these bulk shipments of food to the more selective shipments of medicine, all the way down to an individual guitar string, which can make a difference in someone's life. And it just shows you how much their ambitions are being thwarted. You know, people's their daily lives are being inconvenienced or blocked entirely by starvation level blockade. So given all these types of goods you've indicated that can make a difference to people in the campaign you're starting up now. How can people in Hamilton get involved with the group, and in what way can they actually, start to figure out ways to acquire or send the already accumulated goods to Cuba and get that whole process going? Like, if someone wants to really get involved and get this going now in their own life, what can they do in terms of contacting you and the organization to get moving on that?
Absolutely. So to get a hold of us, our email is cubasolidarityhamilton@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page under the same name, Cuba Solidarity Association of Hamilton. You can reach out to us through there. That's something that we really wish to specialize, because that's something that my wife and I experienced in the last couple of years, is just not knowing how to go about getting stuff there, especially even when you're traveling, because we spent some time and trying to figure out, okay, is it legal to bring this stuff? Is it gonna get stuck in customs? Where do we do where do we deliver it to? A lot of Canadians, they'll travel, but they'll travel and they'll stay on the resorts, or they might just take the guided tours. So what's the opportunity to get it delivered? So that's something that we want our group to really specialize in, is knowing how to, like, the ins and outs of getting things into Cuba, just so that even if people want to do it themselves, at least we're like a resource for information and how to. Like, yes, you can bring this. Yes, you're not gonna, we were fretting because I guess it was a rumor, or somebody said that, oh, you're not allowed to bring syringes into the country. Like, don't have that into your baggage. We checked, and that was bogus. It was just something that somebody for some reason made up. And so there's a lot of anxiety, and there's also like a lot of uncertainty. People don't know what to bring. They don't know where to drop it off. They don't want, you it's the internet, so you go on to any forum, and people tell you, oh, it's going to get resold, or the government's going to seize it. No, last time we went, we traveled with three full suitcases of everything from syringes to formula, children's formula, to medications and stuff like that. We didn't even get slowed down at customs. We knew which hospital we're going to, so we had an address, and we just paid a cab driver to go down there and drop the stuff off. So we want to be a resource for people that are want to do it themselves, but also if they want to contribute. And it's always a bigger effect if it's done in kind of scaled up. So we are fundraising. And basically, our group has kind of decided to split into two different streams of activity. One's going to be material assistance, like this, so food, medicine, and specializing in getting it to Cuba. We don't want to send money, because it's still going to be using what's existing already in Cuba. Like, it's not going to add to the pool of what Cubans have access to. We want to increase the flow of goods going into the country. And the other stream of activity is going to be activism, and trying to get our government to be more proactive in assisting the Cuban people,
And
because
that's a
the
whole other can of worms. But
yeah.
the sense I'm getting from, and we'll hear about that in the future, but the sense I'm getting from you is that you have put in the time, along with the members of your executive, to figure out exactly what things actually are allowed into Cuba via Canada and Cuba. You're figuring out, what you can actually put in a suitcase or a shipping cart or something and get it into there, and how it ends up in a school or a hospital or something. So, people are fretting, and people actually are worried about this in Canada. You talk to people and they are upset, but you actually know how to get the goods into the destinations they're supposed to get to. So I'm glad they can contact you. We'll put up the email address when we put this up online. But I think, yeah, we're going to have to hear in the future first about the kind of things you've been working to acquire or stockpile, and then, the kind of challenges you're facing getting it into Cuba. And then, as you say, the political work that has to be done to end the blockade itself. We want to go after the root causes, as you say, and things are only getting worse with regard to the American policy on Cuba. So we all have our work cut out for us, and especially you guys on this issue. Yeah, could you give us one more time the email address people can use to contact you to get started on getting the medical goods, food, similar types of supplies into Cuba?
Absolutely. So the email is cubasolidarityhamilton@gmail.com. And we also have a Facebook page under the same name, Cuba Solidarity Association of Hamilton. So you can reach us through, Facebook Messenger. If you have things that you want to donate already, we can figure out ways to pick up. If you wish to donate money, that's great. If you want to come out and help load a container, any kind of help is welcome. Same with the advocacy work. If you want to help write letters to members of parliament, or if you want to help distribute flyers or do the on the activism side, we definitely could use the help on all fronts, because we really need to ramp up what we do for Cuba.
I'm so glad something like this is happening in Hamilton. So, Igor, thanks so much. I know you're busy, but we appreciate your time. And hopefully, we'll hear more in the future about progress of the shipments and the goods, and also the political work that's being done to end the blockade itself.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.